Today on Locked On Red Wings, we continue our Should the Red Wings Trade for This Player series with talking about Travis Konecny of the Philadelphia Flyers.
You're Locked On Red Wings, your daily podcast on the Detroit Red Wings, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to the Locked On Red Wings podcast. We are your hosts, Brian Fisher and Scotty Bentley. I'm a podcast producer for the Daily J, a WWJ news radio podcast. Well, Scotty's host over at Locked On Tigers, as well as a freelance journalist for the Detroit News. And today's episode is brought to you by Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code LOCKEDONNHL for $20 off your first purchase. And so we got two topics in today's episode, Scotty. The first of which is more or less just kind of talking about the IIHF Worlds as those continue to be ongoing, and just Dominik Kubalik's utter domination of the pool play. He's got 12 points in six games, eight of which are goals. And then subject number two is to kind of continue this. It's kind of turned into its own series, and we did this a lot last year as well. But trade situations, what players could the Red Wings acquire that would make them better, and would this be a fit? And in today's episode, we're going to talk about Travis Konecny of the Philadelphia Flyers. Scotty, first of all, how you doing, buddy? Happy Tuesday.
Yeah, happy Tuesday, man. Doing all right. The Tigers are about to play the Royals. If they lose twice, I'm going to cry.
Yeah, what, the second worst team in the AL?
Second worst team in baseball, I believe.
It's good company to be in. So
the Oakland A's are historically terrible this year. That is the only team that is behind the Royals, I believe. Well, definitely AL. You're right about that. I don't think there's anyone in the NL worse.
That's probably by design with the fact that they're leaving the city.
Yeah, that's a whole – we could talk about that for a while. That's a train wreck situation over there, sadly, but –
not a great look for somebody with my namesake running that organization. That's all I can say.
Yeah, no, that situation is very fascinating, as is the Philadelphia Flyers.
As is the Philadelphia Flyers, and that would be a great transition if we were talking about them first, but we're not. Should have saved that one. Should have pocketed that one for next segment.
I jumped that one.
No, but we'll lead off because it's ongoing. It's not incredibly relevant towards the NHL season and the Red Wings in general. Because let's be honest, like we talked about it, it's kind of the NIT of hockey. You know, your team doesn't make the playoffs, so some of the NHL players go over there and play in the World Championship, and it's happening in Finland and Latvia. But Dominik Kubalik for the Czech team is dominating. He had a hat trick the other day, single-handedly pulling the Czechs to a victory. He's got eight goals and four assists for 12 points in six games played. And lo and behold, Scotty, I mean, every single one of his goals comes from his, I don't want to say office. I feel like you can only use that term for one person in this league, but his cubicle, let's say that. It comes from his cubicle down there in the right circle. They just keep feeding him, and it's like early with the Red Wings last season. Everything's going in. Everything's hitting the net.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's just how he plays. We've talked about it a few times, but like his style just lends itself to be very inconsistent. That's just the type of player that he is, and probably always will be as far as goal scoring production goes. He's going to get shots. That's consistent. Like Kubalik, he's leaving here with something. Like he's going to get his shots. That's for sure. But it's just a matter of whether they're in the back of the net or even on net. And that is a massive question mark going into every single Dominik Kubalik shot attempt. So I mean, I love it. It's great. I don't think that it's like some revolutionary, like he changed the way he plays or he changed his shot and it's going to translate and we're going to get a full season. Like we've seen like goal a game Kubalik before. It just lasted, you know, a month and then kind of fizzled out. And that's what I fully expect his really entire career to be. But yeah, it's cool to see for sure.
And, you know, he's not the only one who's performing really well. 10th in scoring in the tournament thus far is Lucas Raymond. And really, he's tied for 10th in scoring. And he's got 7 points in six games, 2 goals, 5 assists after kind of a slump year for him in terms of, I mean, following his rookie season, which was fantastic. Yeah. He settled in around the 45-point range. I can't quite remember, but it was in the 40s, which again, isn't bad for your second year in the NHL, especially with as young as he is, but we definitely had higher expectations for him as a fan base to see him go to Team Sweden and perform as like a top line winger and be as good as he is. He had a beautiful snipe against Denmark. Either yesterday or the day before, by the time people are listening to this, to see him kind of thrive in that environment, it really is reassuring to see. And hopefully he just over the summer continues to put on more muscle. Cause that's really, if he just put on more muscle, becomes stronger and harder to knock off the puck, I mean, he's just going to dominate as a winger in the NHL.
Yeah. We've talked about it so often. Like that really is the biggest thing, is not just get stronger just to get stronger, just have the ability to not get knocked off the puck so easily. And that's just something that this year was kind of, I don't want to say exposed, like it's not like he had the worst year ever, but like that was a part of his game that was definitely on the scouting report going around the league and was very, very apparent. So, yeah, I think that seeing him succeed in any capacity and seeing that he still, even if it is against lesser competition, I don't really care, seeing that he does still have the ability to take over games and such like that, like we saw when he was a 19-20-year-old rookie, is nice to see given kind of the struggles and ups and downs of this past season. So, yep, nice refresher. And then obviously, as you said, the biggest thing is just for him to put on some muscle this offseason.
Yeah, absolutely. Berggren's also in that conversation. He's point per game so far in pool play, 2 goals, 4 assists in 6 games played. And then, you know, Moritz Seider had a goal against the Team Hungary. And, you know, and that's the thing, too, is you got to keep in mind is when it comes to the World Cup, and it's great to grow the game, because when you get teams like Hungary in the mix, or like Latvia in the mix, on the same stage with teams like Sweden, like Finland, like America and Canada, that helps grow the game in those countries, therefore grow the game internationally, giving you a better pool of players to make the game better overall at the NHL level. But with that being said, you know, Hungary is still years behind the development cycles of teams like Sweden and Germany. So when you see Moritz Seider score the goal that he did and the way they just picked apart the Hungary defense, you have to remember, grain of salt, when you see Kubalik and Raymond dominate pool play, you got to also remember the competition can vary drastically from team to team.
Yeah, I mean, even comparing Germany to some of the like top end countries, right? Like it's all relative, and like you said, it just varies so much, and it's not all like incredible or awful. Like there's a lot of teams in the middle like that. And honestly, I think Germany is like players like Seider and whatnot will obviously be huge to the country's growth and international play. But yeah, like they're, you know what I mean, Germany's a step behind like the Canadas and such of the world. You know what I mean?
So well,
like,
everyone's behind all, Canada.
Right. Yeah, for sure. I know I just picked like the obvious top one, but still like there's it's all relative, and there's variance across the board there. So yeah, you do have to take opponent into consideration a lot, just as people do with group play in all sports, right? Like the WBC for baseball just happened. That was a big thing. The World Cup last year, right? Same thing. Like it's all just part of it, and it's all relative for sure. But seeing your best players succeed is never going to get old, and so that's nice.
And for those of you keeping track, there's only one more day left, and that is today by the time you're listening to this, of preliminary play. And then we go into elimination games starting on the 25th of May, which I believe is what, Thursday? Yeah, Thursday is the start of the elimination play. And right now, USA in Group A, USA, Sweden, Finland, Germany are 1 through 4 in the Group A. And in Group B, it's Switzerland, Czech, Canada, and Latvia. And I think that's the biggest shocker, that Canada is third in their group.
Yeah.
Like that. I honestly, Group A is exactly how I think it would shake out. USA, Sweden, Finland, Germany. Like if you're giving me a power rankings of Group A, that's what it would be. And that's how it's shaken out so far. But the fact that Canada is trailing Switzerland by 6 points, I mean, that's what we talk about, where teams get, like, countries get better by being on that stage. And you're seeing it this year with Switzerland being number one. Czech, just a decade ago, was that team that was a tier below. Not saying that they are long term, they're not on Canada's tier. We all know that. But to be in that conversation now is huge for the growth. I mean, obviously, Dominic Kubalik's kind of carrying them right now, being in his cubicle. But it's great to
You're
see.
You're carried, baby.
I love seeing Red Wings players succeed no matter where it's at, no matter what level it is. And they definitely have been thriving at the World Championship thus far. But, Scotty, we got to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about another trade candidate, trade possibility, trade partner in the Philadelphia Flyers. And
yeah, well, I also just think that kind of like what we did yesterday with I mean, obviously the Leafs are the big story in the NHL and what they're going to do this offseason. But I think the Flyers situation as a whole is pretty fascinating.
Yeah,
too.
It's definitely worth a conversation because they fired their GM and it looks like it might be complete teardown mode for them. And Konechny might be a perfect place to start because his value might not ever be higher. We're going to talk about that in segment two. But first, I got to talk to you guys today about Game Time. Game Time is the place for last minute ticket deals, guys. Forget planning months in advance. Game Time has deals on tickets right up to the day of the event. Get exclusive flash deals on tickets for football, basketball, baseball, concerts, comedy, theater. They got everything, guys. The Game Time guarantee means you'll always get the best price if you find tickets in the same section and row for less. Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Last time I checked, 110, Scotty, is more than 100%. So it means you're getting more money back than you put into it. It's the fastest growing ticketing app in the country for a reason. Get images of your seat before you buy so you know exactly what to expect when you arrive and buy those tickets in a matter of seconds. Just two taps and you're set. Tickets are sent directly to your phone, so you never have to dig through your email. Snag those tickets without the stress using Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code LOCKEDONNHL for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code LOCKEDONNHL for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last-minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. Segment two, Lockdown Red Wings podcast. Scotty, you and I are going to transition now into kind of we did this a lot last year. We're going to do it a lot this year. So far, none of what we have wanted has come to fruition, but you know, that's the gamble you play when you talk hypotheticals, right?
It's also May 23rd.
Well, like I said the other day, it's a long offseason.
Yeah, it's very.
So we're talking about Travis Konechny today because the Philadelphia Flyers are in a really interesting spot where they just fired their general manager, Chuck Fletcher, I believe.
Yeah.
And he ardently believed that this team was the team and the core that was going to get them to a Stanley Cup playoff and a Stanley Cup championship, even when the rest of the league was telling them, no, it's not. Well, like, what are you doing, dude? Like, stop. You're fooling yourself right now. And then he goes out there and he signs Rasmus Ristolainen into a huge contract, just digs that hole deeper. They're going into this offseason, having fired their general manager, having been one of the worst teams in the league with only $7 million in cap space. When teams like the Red Wings, by the way, Scotty, which I wasn't even aware of this, I was talking about how, oh, they have $30 million of cap space. They're $8 million under the cap floor going into the offseason here. Barring any extensions or trades, right now, when the new league year begins on July 1st, the Detroit Red Wings will be $8 million under the cap floor. So they'll have to spend to get up to that, which is so exciting considering, and this isn't, we're talking about the Flyers, but it's really exciting when you consider where the Red Wings finished and now they have to take that step forward and the fact that they have to spend to get better and they have to spend to hit the cap floor at the same time. Like they're in a situation where, oh no, we have to get better as a team. The NHL is going to make us, but we're talking about the Philadelphia Flyers and they have $7 million in cap space and they're looking down the barrel of a full scale teardown to try and just start from ground zero. And I think that one of their best trade pieces is Travis Konechny. Do you think he has a fit with the Red Wings, Scotty?
Well, yes, I do. I don't think we're going to say no to too many of these like best players on teams that could be selling off this offseason.
It wouldn't really work for the show's format if we brought a player to the table who would be like, nah.
Right, but I do. Philly is just so fascinating to me because they were 2 years ago, they were one of the worst teams in the NHL. They had like a 60-point season. I think they had the number 5 pick in the draft. And they were then going into last year, everyone, I mean, we went on here. When we did our preseason predictions, I thought they were going to be in the mix for like the tank off happening at the bottom of the NHL for the number one overall pick to get Bedard. And
they should have been.
Right. But then they bring in Torts and they just say, you know what? Like, forget it. We'll just bring in a guy who notoriously raises floors of places, not necessarily ceilings. That's a completely different conversation. But like, we're going to bring in a win now type of coach on a 4-year deal. And then, as you said, like, we're going to make moves. We're going to spend a little bit of money to bring in players to like kind of, again, they didn't think that they were part of the tank off, but everyone else looked around.
Dude,
and was like, you
Tortorella knew.
Right.
They brought Tortorella in and he talks about how crappy the culture is. And then halfway through the season, he goes like, oh, this team doesn't have it. Like, Tortorella comes in. They bring him in to make them a playoff team. And he goes, yeah, this team doesn't got it.
That's what he is, though. You knew he was going to say that. He's stirred something up in the last four places he's coached. Like, that's just who John Tortorella is. And like, he's a hockey guy through and through. And that's just what's going to happen. So like, that was already from then on, I was absolutely fascinated with this situation, with this team. And they end up in this just awful spot of nowhere close to like high odds to get the number one overall pick. And in the same breath, eons away from the postseason. Like, they are just right in the worst spot to be in the NHL. And now, to your point, they fired their GM. They have to – I mean, they traded their longtime captain last year, right? Like, they are in a spot where they have to look in the mirror and be like, well, are we just going to keep trying to, like, escape the middle-of-the-road mediocrity kind of, like, situation? I call it the Detroit Pistons, like, level, right, where for a decade they were just, like, one of the best teams to miss the playoffs and never
Minnesota
got better.
Minnesota Wild?
What?
Minnesota Wild for a long time.
Right, yeah, Minnesota Wild in hockey's terms, for sure. So, like, if they have to, like, do everything they can to try to escape that, or they blow it all up. Those are really the two avenues they have. They're definitely not just going to stand pat and do nothing and just try to run it back as is, because that's stupid.
Well, I mentioned, too, that they only have $7 million in cap space. You also have to take into account that going into the offseason, you know, obviously they have their own handful of RFAs. So even though they're not under contract, they're still with the team or under team control. But they only go into the offseason with 15 guys on their roster, and they got to get to 23.
Yeah.
So be it call-ups from the AHL, they just want to go full Coyotes and just stack your roster full of AHL guys or Blackhawks, if you want to call it that method, too. Or if they only have $7 million in cap space and they only have 15 players under contract. So they're going to have to fill their roster out, and they're looking down the barrel of a full. I mean, the fact that he failed to trade James Van Riemsdyk, like, that was their only player at the deadline who really had any value. And they failed to get rid of him. I mean, that was an indictment on Fletcher's career as general manager. And then, so you're looking at right now, they got to tear it down. They got to tear it down and begin all over again. And they have some pieces whose value is never going to be any higher. And one of those guys is Travis Konecny. Now, if you're the Philadelphia Flyers, you might say, no, Konecny can be part of our next generation core. But he's going to be a UFA at the end of the 25 season. Like, he's going to be a UFA at the start of the 25-26 season. He's not going to want to resign with a Philadelphia Flyers team that's going to be bottom of the barrel. He's making $5.5 million a year. He's just coming off of near career year, if not. Now, and here's the other thing. If you're the Detroit Red Wings and you're looking for a pure goal scorer, this guy is probably thus far the lowest on that tier of players. Correct. Now, he only played 60 games this year. So he didn't play the full 82. He missed 12. But in that span, he had 31 goals and 30 assists for 61 points. So he was over a point per game. So it was point per game wise, the best year of his career. Last year was a bit of a down year, 52 points in 79 games played. But if you look at, if you prorate that point total across 82, and I know a lot of people say you can't do that, you know, you're looking at a guy who is Dylan Larkin tier on the wing. He's not, he might have a 40 goal season, might, but he's already 26 years old. But at the same time, because the Flyers are in sell-off mode and they really don't have much power in this situation, you might be able to get a guy who can score you 30-plus goals on a wing, and he shoots right, mind you, for less. And he fits your window because he's 26, and you have the cap space to extend him when it's time to extend them, but you still have him for another year, another 2 years, because now cap friendly is adjusted to be the current year. So 2023, yeah, you have him 2 more years at $5.5 million. Like, you have a guy who's going to give you 30 more goals, and how many more wins is 30-plus goal score going to provide? We talk about how we need a 40-goal score, but it's also not a bad look to sign a guy who can play both right wing, left wing, shoots right, and can put point-per-game status, 30-plus goals, maybe 40 goals out there at the same time. So, like, he's definitely a lower tier than, like, your Kyle Connor, but he just is he might be a perfect fit in terms of what you need production-wise.
Yeah, you know, I think another thing that really stood out to me with him, and again, that Flyer situation is just so weird, is that when looking, like, this was his quote-unquote career year, right? Like, as you said, he over a point a game, only in 60 games, but still over a point a game. If you look at his time on ice throughout his career, this one is the outlier. Like, so, which is a good sign to me. Like, they played him for his average time on ice for the first 5 years of his career was always around 15 minutes. Then 2 years ago, it bumped up to 17. And then last year, this past season rather, he played in over 20 minutes a night. So, like, a huge uptick in his average time on ice. Obviously was like a bona fide first liner, especially when Giroux and whatnot were all gone. But, like, it was just one of those things where he finally got, like, the opportunity to be the guy and was a point-of-game player. And so acquiring him, assuming that he would be on about the same situation as far as role on the team, I think can only spell good things. I guess my point in saying that is just, like, he has really only played, even though he's a 7-year NHL veteran, he's really only played one season. He's only played 60 games as, like, the top line, like, winger of and primary point producer of a hockey team. And so I think there might still be a little bit more untapped maybe production there that he just more playing time will get to see, hopefully.
Absolutely. We're going to take another quick break. When we come back, we're going to pile onto this conversation because I got statistics. I got stats, Scotty.
Of course you do.
We got them. So stay tuned to Locked On Red Wings. Segment 3, Lockdown Red Wings podcast. We're talking about Travis Konecny and whether or not he'd be a good fit for the Detroit Red Wings. I think we're both in agreement. I mean, he's not a 40-goal scorer yet. He was on, he had 31 goals in 60 games this past year. He fits the window. He is a goal scorer. He's not like the pure elite goal scorer that we need, but like he's a point per game player, like without a doubt. Like he would definitely fit what the Red Wings need in terms of production. The problem becomes, and here's the downside to a guy like Travis Konecny. He doesn't play defense. His player card this past year, according to Evolving Hockey, he was a 3% defender at even strength. Like, one of the worst defenders as a winger in the league. And he made up for it by being a above average, even like a good even, goal scorer. In fact, his expected goals above replacement at even strength offense was better than his actual. So he should have produced more in those 60 games than he did if you believe in goals above replacement. But his expected goals above replacement at defense at even strength was putrid, like -6 almost. Right. And it gave him an overall percentile of 28%. And when you think about the system that Lalonde is trying to operate, which is defense first, you think maybe that wouldn't be a great fit, and you might see a little bit of regression in his production as Lalonde tries to make him into that player. My counter argument to myself saying that would be that you could get an opportunity to see a tremendous amount of player growth out of him by forcing him to be more defensively responsible. Because if you're going to put him on a top line, you're going to demand of him to play more defense. And if you can teach him and hammer into him a defensive game, that's going to only help produce on the other end of the ice as well. And you could see an uptick in his offense once he becomes defensively responsible.
Yeah, I think organizational, like systemic fit in that terms is definitely a key thing to talk about. And I do think that adding him into the defensive-minded Lalonde system is going to help him somewhat. Now, the extent of that is all TBD, right? But I do think that it'll help him a little bit just because he will be in a system where he kind of has to play defense. You know what I mean? Like when he's on the ice, he's going to be in a position where nothing is going to happen unless he is playing defense, and he's just going to find himself in closer to the right spot at the right time, given the system and everything like that, just how it's drawn up and whatnot. So I think that'll help a little bit, but in general, that's obviously a huge question mark and a huge red flag for acquiring a player like that. And you know, I mean, to be fair to the counter argument, like that is like two strikes against him in terms of like comparing him to other players, right? Like if we're comparing him to other players that we've talked about or other players that we will talk about, and we compare him to players that are more pure goal scorers, like this is a dude that struggles defensively and is not that pure goal scorer, while he still obviously would be a great addition production wise. So it's tough because it's that all being said, that also means that it would probably be cheaper to acquire him than a pure goal scorer that does play defense.
And
you know
with
what I mean?
The so Red it's, Wings,
it's a back and forth type of thing.
With the Red Wings assets that they have, he would be an easy guy to acquire. I would even think that you wouldn't have to give up a top tier prospect. Like I think you can get away with giving him like the 17 and a mid-tier prospect, or two of your seconds this year and a mid-tier prospect. And, you know, we're making a big deal out of the fact that he's not a 40 goal scorer, as if him, the fact that he's not scoring, or the, as if the fact that he's scoring 31 goals isn't an achievement all on its own. It's hard to score even 30 goals in the NHL. The Red Wings have had three in the last decade. It was Dylan Larkin. Well, four in the last decade. It was Dylan Larkin now three times, and Andreas Athanasiou once. Like the Red Wings, it's hard to find a 30 goal scorer. And if you can add a second one to your roster, how many? I'm sorry.
I said Burt too, but yeah.
Yes, Burt too. My point still being that if you add a second 30 goal scorer to your team, how many more wins does that create for the team as a whole? How much better does your team get as a whole? The defensive issue, let's not also overlook that the Philadelphia Flyers as a team was awful. Like he produced a point per game production on a team that was one of the worst in the league. Shout out to my teammate John, by the way, who was convinced that Torts would go in there and propel them to a playoff performance. We even made a bet about it because he thought they were going to finish better than the Red Wings, and I knew that wasn't going to happen. Shout out to you, John.
That's a crazy, crazy bet, yeah.
Crazy bet. In fact, I think the bet was literally I would have to go on here and tell – like I didn't get anything out of it. The bet was literally if he won, I would go on here and tell him he was right. Well, guess what, John? You were wrong. But sick 1-1 game you had on Sunday, buddy. Appreciate that. Won like 9-1. Couldn't have done it without John's
stick taps.
And assist. Stick taps for him. Great, great player on the ice. But that Philadelphia Flyers opinion, man. Oh,
that's tough.
That's tough. That's a tough look for you now, isn't it, buddy? Love you to death. But he's going to, I know I'm going to get a text tomorrow or today by the time he hears this. But Travis Konecny, if you can add him, do it. Absolutely. You know, he was still an above replacement level player at goals above replacement, wins above replacement, and standing points above replacement. Mm-hmm. He made the Philadelphia Flyers better. Defense notwithstanding, you can work on that. You can improve on that. If you have an opportunity to add another 30 goal scorer to your team, do it. And I think price wise, it's very doable. I think the Philadelphia Flyers are in a position where they need to acquire assets because he's not going to want to stay around and his value isn't going to be any higher. You could wait and see if he outproduces this year. If he goes 82, well, he's already a point per game. If he goes 35 goals next year, then maybe you can get even more out of him. but he's not a rental right now. He's got 2 years left. You can get more out of him because he has tenure left and start your rebuild earlier by trading him now. I think it makes sense for both teams, but I'm sure Philadelphia Flyers fans probably think otherwise.
Yeah, and I think that they're probably, because it's 2 years at like $10 million total, right? Not a year. Like it's 2 years, and it's six this year and four next, and the cap hit I think is 5.5 for both. So like you're talking about a pretty team-friendly deal for a point-per-game caliber player. I would imagine that they would probably want a decent return for like arguably their best player, kicking off a rebuild earlier than maybe they absolutely quote unquote need to. But I think that this is a very gettable player for the Wings and would obviously be a great add. If you're weighing pros and cons of all of the players that are kind of going to be on the trade market there, this is definitely, in terms of people that we've talked about so far, probably the cheapest as far as what the Wings would have to give up. And you're getting him for at least two more years. I would imagine if you're trading for him and getting rid of future assets, the plan would be to extend him as well. I'd imagine he'd want a raise.
Well, that's what's nice too, is
about
if he
that
doesn't.
As well. But yeah, it's all into consideration. And I think that this would still be one of the cheaper ones. Not that it'd be cheap, but one of the cheaper ones that we've talked about so far. And he's still a point of game player.
Well, that's what's really nice about him too. When you're talking about an extension with 2 years left, you have 2 years to see if whether or not he's worthy of that extension.
Yeah.
Like you have $8 million to the floor, $30 million to the ceiling. Go out there and make a move that's going to make an immediate impact and make this team better. And I think Travis Konecny would make this team better. Again, he's not, you know, Marner, Nylander, Matthews. He's not even Kyle Connor, but he's still a damn good player who would instantly bring more goals and more wins to the Red Wings roster. And that's a giant need for this team. They Absolutely. Filled out the depth really nicely on this team. They've got tons of assets, tons of guys right around the corner. Now use some of those assets so you don't have to wait around anymore. Like, I just don't want another season of praying that the young guys are going to make a big enough of a difference to get this team somewhere. I just want that acquisition. I want that big trade.
No, I think we all do. And I think it's honestly needed.
All right. Any final thoughts, Scotty?
We ball.
We do ball. We'll be back with a new episode tomorrow. Haven't decided what we're going to talk about yet, but when we do, you'll be the first to hear it because, assuming you're here at midnight when episode premieres, if you're not, you won't be the first to hear it, but we'll be happy if we are your first listen of the day. Appreciate that.
Word.
Yeah. So stay tuned. I'm so bad at these endings. I should have just gone right out.
This is crazy.
Should have just gone straight out. Same time, same place. It's your team. Every day.
Every day.